Just like to say a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 57 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at GPM Group, the specialist fireball manufacturers. As ever, I'm joined by Cookie.
Hello.
Matt.
Afternoon.
We're in unfamiliar surroundings. Well, unfamiliar in a sense, it's a pub we've been to for a while. But
yeah, well,
we
got out of the club, we got out of the portal cabin, got out of the Ravens
special,
bar. Christmas special, why not spend it in the bar? Cheers, Matt.
Hey! We've ended up in the Star and Garter in Bromley, for those of you who don't know it, up in Bromley North. But we started at the Lock and Barrel,
yeah. So we're
Our good friends at Lock and Barrel.
We went in there. Also, it's a pub crawl. It's not, because we've got to be back. So it's literally a drink in one.
It's Christmas Eve. Come on,
Christmas Eve. But let's let our hair down and enjoy ourselves. It should be.
I was going to give a shout out on Twitter, Lock and Barrel. Sorry, where we're going to originally record the podcast. They are at Lock and Barrel AH for Ale House on Twitter. They're also on Facebook. They're good supporters of the club. I know C&C Golders get a discount in there during the week, not just on like on a Saturday.
They're in Bromley North, aren't they?
And yeah,
so I think like near Brewster's Painting and Decorating Shop, near the Travel Lodge.
It's a bit too busy in there, so I didn't think if we start recording the podcast, all you're going to hear is everyone over the background. So we moved down Bromley North. We've ended up in the Star and Garter in Bromley,
and here we are.
I can also highly recommend, by the way. Oh, and Matt's with us. Have we introduced Matt?
We have introduced Matt.
Yeah, the forgotten man. Yeah.
Well, I was a forgotten man last week.
We'll take it.
There's always one of us.
We're going to start with a content list, but we don't have one.
We're going to wing this
so
one.
So we're going to start with what's on the tap.
They have got
an India Pale Ale. I just had about 4.3% this one. What are you on, Matt?
Well, I thought, oh, go on, I'm just going to...
I'm on the Coca-Cola now.
Okay, Matt's on Coke. And with this one, I've gone for, because it's winter, thought get with a... festivities. I'm on cider.
Brilliant. This pub's absolutely wasting on you. No, but in all seriousness, big thanks to everybody tuning in for this one.
And thank you to everyone that's listened to other, however many we've done this year.
Definitely,
the
56
of them. The 56 of them.
But no, in all seriousness, we thought it'd be a nice touch to do a little extra special before the festivities.
And get me on it a bit more to make it a bit more of a Christmas special.
Definitely, yeah. No one likes to be alone at Christmas. Without trying to ruin everyone's Christmas now, I suppose you should probably speak about the Easter game.
Yeah, we lost. So up next is it 1-0 up, dominated the first 20 minutes. You would think that Bromley have obviously fixed the issues that we had at the Dorking game where we exited the FA Trophy. But obviously, Matt, that didn't happen for the other 70 minutes.
We were hoping for a bounce back, and what we got was a bounce back for half an hour, unfortunately. And in that first half an hour, we were fantastic. We were on top. We were playing some of our best football that we played in recent weeks. It was an outstanding goal from Michael Cheek. Fantastic play from Luke Paulson to set him up as well. And a great finish, like you say, Jeff. But unfortunately, a calamitous, I think you've got to call it, own goal on 32 minutes, and then the game's just flipped on its head. It knocked the stuffing out of us massively. We seemed to lose confidence from it. We weren't playing the neat, free-flowing
really
football that we were before.
It's not, we're not being funny. You talk about games where we've gone behind or conceded when we didn't expect to and stuff, and the most immediate one, Bristol Rovers.
Well, Harrogate as well, 3-0 down, Harrogate.
You talk about a game where you concede in and you think, well, that's it. You know, that's over. Everyone puts their tools down and stuff. You know, that's your prime example. You go... We end up getting equaliser, Bristol Rovers. We all know what happened from there. You know?
Yeah,
for Easter was a very strange. Like you say, those opening stages, the pace we were showing, the movement, the pace, you know, the tempo of the game was what we're lacking last game. Neil refers to it later in the interview, but
yeah,
we were seeing it all in those first 20-25 minutes.
We did, yeah, and unfortunately after that, like I say, it was similar to Dorking in the sense that in the first stages we played really well and then just dropped off. This time it was the goal that really affected us, and it was a bizarre own goal. It's not something hopefully that we're going to see again this season. And then after that, going 2-1 down and going into the break, a goal down on the stroke of half time, literally in injury time, is really not the preparation that you need to bounce back in that second half.
I think with it, the point I'd like to make, we've got a few players out injured. We know we've got like Jordan Higgs, Chris Bush still on suspension, Rico Hackett, Fairchild. Are we missing these players? Are they a massive influence to the squad? I mean, obviously Rico is definitely one. Chris Bush, a bit obviously been suspended. He's got one more game after Dover and come back into it. Is this what we're missing?
It is, yeah. I think you've got to factor that into it. I mean, these players, let's face it, would be starting, wouldn't they, if they were fit? So I think you've got to factor that in. But in recent weeks, we've had to play without them, and we've done enough without them. That was the most disappointing thing.
Of Chris Bush's suspension, you know, these things that are cropping up and have been happening over the season. It's just you can't write it. You know, you really can't.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
You can start from the start of this season, you know, and I know, and this is a festive special, and it's not quite our New Year special. We're going to look back over the whole of 2019. However, you start a season by losing a player due to a betting offence. One. That's the start. That was our start of the season. You know, a member of the squad you've signed for, committed for the season, etc., part of your budget. Okay, you lose him. No. Yeovil, we then go and lose Mark Cousins in the manner that we do, by the way. You know, not just losing Mark Cousins, in the manner that we did it. I remember on commentary, it was a genuinely horrendous moment.
It was very scary, yeah.
You then lose a player due to retirement. You know, that's not including Savin Hines from the year before, you know, season before. You lose Mark Anthony, you know. So I remember the following game after that, I think, well, we started with two of the, if you include the back four.
Barrow, yeah. Suspensions.
And add suspensions to that. We ended up with two of our usual starting five, you know, and there's so many things. But I guess that if you're going to achieve anything in this league, you're going to have to overcome all these obstacles.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be fair, here we are at Christmas, third in the league. And you told me that at the start of the season, I'd absolutely bitten your hand off.
You would have taken it 100%.
Yeah, you definitely would have. I think one positive to take is obviously on the Friday, we announced the signing of Andre Coker from Cray Wanderers, obviously formerly of Crystal Palace and Maidstone. What a massive impact he had, and even getting a goal in his debut, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it was a complete howler from the goalkeeper, but you've got to credit Coker because a lot of players would have turned their back and walked away. You know, I was not expecting the keeper to make an error in the manner that he did, but he was there in the right place at the right time. He was persistent and he was able to get the goal. Unfortunately, it was too little too late, but he did certainly have an impact on the game when he came on, and he looks to be a really astute signing, so fingers crossed that there's more to come from him.
Obviously, despite our appearance and despite our location, we are club officials to a certain extent. Are we going to talk about the penalty that never was? I mean,
at the time, the way, for me at the time,
I must admit, looking back on the commentary, you were incredibly calm when it was going on. I remember watching it going absolutely bananas.
It's very, very interesting to look at it as you see it during the game,
course,
and then look at it in sort of retrospectively. And the way I think, it's clear now to us that the player didn't get any of the ball, but the way Mekki went down suggested that he'd been tackled fairly to me in the initial when I was watching the game. Looking at the replay, it's slightly different. So I can understand it from the referee's perspective, but a qualified referee, I'm not.
I must say, the referee was so far away, he's not even in the camera shot.
Away, what you don't see is that straight away, literally, as the challenge is made, he signals no penalty. Immediately, there's no deliberation.
It's absolutely hacked him down. You watch it on the second camera and that. It's absolutely no attempt, you know. And I don't know.
Well, I think, obviously, with the unfortunate...
Let's get it right. That's a penalty, and that's 2-0. Completely different game, Matt.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you say with it as well is obviously with the incident with Chris Bush at Chesterfield, where you're doing the... It was 5-6 hours after. The Observer technically gave the red card or banned him for 3 games for violent conduct. But so...
It is.
At that point, I know you can't get the goal back, but why wasn't the... Why wasn't there a report, a charge against the opposition player 5 hours after?
It's ridiculous. How can you police it?
You can go back to Chris Bush's red card being overturned, okay? Brilliant, that's been overturned. What about the fella who went down?
Yeah,
nothing's happened to him.
The FA deemed that Chris Bush's sending off shouldn't have been sent off. And their explanation was he didn't touch him. So how on earth...
So it's a dive then?
Did the player go down?
Yeah.
Where's the retrospect? Have I missed a memo? Maybe I have. Maybe the player has been banned. I don't know. But where's the retrospective action on that?
I think being an official podcast, we have to obviously be careful what we say a little bit. I mean, we are fans at the end of the day, and fans first. It is a struggle to comprehend.
Well, you can't,
no, no, you are. No, you are. Just because we could go all in. We could get a. We're at a pub.
Wow.
A few more beers in and say, well, really think. However, I think with it is it's disappointing that this has happened. But especially with the Chris Bushes.
I thing, certainly do.
You set a precedent. That red card's after 5 hours, which means you could do that any game. You've issued a 3-game ban for violent conduct 5 hours after.
Retrospectively,
the game.
Yeah.
You can. You've now set a precedent to do that at every game.
No, but the difference with that is, you can't retrospectively give a penalty.
No, exactly. Yeah.
No.
The referee has seen that incident and given his decision.
No,
the difference with Bush was the referee said he didn't see it.
No.
But Lino, who by the way said to the player that Chris Bush had challenged, get on with the game, mate, also said that he didn't see it, which is bizarre because why would you tell a player to get on with it?
I know you can't get the penalty back, but my point is obviously that the player that's challenged Adameki and going down in the box and. There was a challenge, and it was a violent challenge. Why isn't there a card issued after?
Because the referee's seen it. The referee thinks he's got the ball. He must do, otherwise he'd be given a penalty. You know, but that's unfortunate, the level of officiating. You know, and what they say is they have 12, 13 referees at our level that they try and retain at our level. It used to be a case that they run the line on the. We get into something. You know, we're changing the subject. Unfortunately, That was just it. But the problem is, it's such a key turning point in a game, yeah. In a fixture, when for us, with backs against the wall, all the challenges we're up against,
yeah.
You know, it's just another turning point where you go, sliding doors moment, you know. Really? You know, and then the rest of the game, I can't explain that. I really, you know.
Obviously, Merry Christmas to all the officials in the National League.
It's I mean, the second half, you know, we came out. We came out and we hit the ground running for the first 2 minutes. Two great chances, Cheek and Winfield with headers that were saved. And then 5 minutes later, they're 3-1 up. And, you know, this is just a Jekyll and Hyde performance that we were talking about. 1 minute, we are, you know, all guns blazing. The next minute, we're taking our foot off the gas and we've let them score again. And the goal, unfortunately, was too little too late.
We want to keep it a bit more positive. Andre Coker's goal shows that there's to come off the bench to then perform from, not being disrespectful, but to come from Craig playing in the Bostic Premier, or it's not Bostic anymore.
No, Bet Victor.
Bet Victor Premier since the start of the season. Yeah. First part of the season, then coming to us. There's supporters out there that do occasionally go to the Craig games. One person that points out in my head is Colin Head.
He pulled me the other day. He went, "Oh, thank you very much for stitching me up the podcast." I said, "What do you mean?" He went, "Oh, well, you've basically told all the Bromley fans that Brian, that works at the Tunnel, says that Andre Coker is an absolutely fantastic signing." So he went, "If it doesn't work out, it's all on me." That takes a person, bro.
Welcome to the everyday, eh?
But you just see from the lads' performances from Cray, how good of a player he is. He just needed to get back to that level, and I'm so glad that we've got the chance, and I hope he can now blossom and he can flourish and go what he should have been doing, because he didn't work out with Mason, Harry Wheeler, when he was getting to his peak. But then again, a lot of players didn't work out.
That didn't work out of them, it didn't work out of us. I mean, I seem to recall the start of that season, we were trying to get one known from Palace, and obviously, unfortunately, that incident happened with George, I think, you know, on the game, and that is, again, football, sliding doors, everything.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. That you want to summarise seasons and summarise you know, your form and your progress and everything like this. So many sliding door moments that happen, you know, you just want to be on that right side of it. And unfortunately, as of late, we keep on seeming to be on that on that wrong side of it, Matt.
Yeah, it's
you know,
true.
There's sort of no getting around it. And, like you say, you go back to the EC game. Obviously, Neil, you spoke with Neil after the game, you know, and he clearly shares our frustrations.
Yeah, very much so. I think he was delighted with like we said, what we saw in the first half an hour and how we seemed to have turned a corner at that point from the Dorking game, and it just wasn't, it just didn't turn out that way in the second half, unfortunately. But there's no better man to describe it than himself, and here's Neil's thoughts.
Neil, disappointing result all in all.
Very. I thought up until they got the first goal, which was a poor goal for us to give away, considering there was no pressure on Dave. All we needed was a bit of communication from the keeper and the centre half. I thought we were cruising. I thought we did everything right. We missed out on a decision the ref didn't see on Mekki when he brought him down. But even still, you get the goal. We're comfortable. I didn't see any threat from them. And then when they got that goal that we gifted them, obviously the own goal, and then the second one just before half time, again, I'm still in there. We're just going through all the goals against. We haven't been carved open.
And it's hard to concede on the stroke of injury time, or half time, I should say, one of the worst times you can concede a goal.
No, absolutely, because the goal that we scored for them anyway gave them a little bit of a lift. And then obviously the second goal, they're going in on a bit of a high. But then right at the second half, we have a chance to, equalise, and we head it straight at the keeper. I think it was cheeky. And then again, the third goal, we just looked at that. What a poor goal in where we are and where we're going. But, and the consolation goal right at the end is what it is. But, as I say, I thought we started the game very lively, better than we did last week. Got the goal that we deserved, that Cheeky deserves with his hard work. But, we can't keep gifting goals away. Six goals in two games, that's unlike us. And we've got to make sure we stop it.
It did seem a bit of a, like you were saying, a Jekyll and Hyde performance in that. I feel in the first half some of the best football we've played recently, and then quite the opposite in the second
half. I just said to the boys, last week we were void of ideas and we were void of passing and no one wanted to get on it. Totally opposite today. Against a side like Eastleigh, I thought we looked confident in possession. We were trying to do the right thing. There was a freedom to them. Go 1-0 up, and you're thinking, this could be the one where we sort of kickstart it again. And as I say, you give the goal like that. With Dave scoring your own goal, that's always going to lift the opposition.
One positive, a debut for Andre Coker and a goal and a good performance by him.
Yeah, he come on. We know Andre. Obviously we played against him a couple of times when he was at Palace. I needed a little bit of pace. I need someone who can take players on, and he certainly did it. And to get a goal, however fortunate it was for him to get it, hopefully relaxed him. But Andre's going to be a better player. He will improve. He's got the bit of pace that can get behind people. And as I say, no one played bad where you go that weren't good enough. It was just mistakes in the wrong areas at the wrong time.
Plenty of opportunities now to put it right in a short space of time, all starting with Dover away on Boxing Day.
Yeah, we've got some big games coming up. They're all going to be difficult. Dover, we'll be dagging them after that, and then obviously Dover again. We just got to find that little bit of confidence and belief. I looked at the players today, and I just think they lost a little bit of belief after what's happened. They probably last week knocked it out of them a little bit, but we're sitting third in the table. I know results went our way and everything, but you can't rely on them all the time. But I'm really proud of them. Going into Christmas Day, having Christmas dinner today, sitting third in the table. And I'm really proud of where we are at this moment in time. We've got a long way to go. No one expects us to be where we are, but when you're up there, you don't want to lose the opportunity. And I think there's a frustration in the changing room rather than anything else. But we'll be all right. We'll come good. We've got Bushy coming back, but suspension after the next game. I've got Rico coming back. I've got Jordan Higgs sitting on the subs bench today. Clifton's only a few days away. So numbers are coming back. We have been hit hard. Mark Cousins is out training as well now. So, we've got to wait for them players to come back. But we've just got to make sure that when those players come back, we're still in with a shout of achieving something special this year. And I still genuinely believe we can.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Matt, as ever, Neil summarising it pretty well there.
Yeah, the disappointment clear to see.
But it's here.
Yeah, and here, especially on the podcast, from that perspective. Especially after, like we were saying, such a great start to the game. Just not to be able to keep that momentum going after the own goal. It clearly knocked the confidence. And, it is a bit of a rough patch of form for us at the minute in general. But we've got to sort of get that mojo back that we had earlier on in the season and put some wins together now.
100%. This cookie's absolutely polished off the prawn cocktail crisp that we just opened.
Oh, yeah, Tato.
Matt, Boreham Wood game. Bit of an update on that, really. We obviously wanted to bring it forward.
We did, yeah, and so did they, to be fair. It was a suggestion on their part. Obviously, we still have the away game to play there. It's the, I think, the third
Saturday?
We're
playing on the bank holiday Monday, don't we?
It is initially in April, yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, due to the trophy, we've got the 11th of... 11th.
Sorry, Cookie's just making patterns on pillows in here.
I've just seen there's a reversible pillow. in the pub. And the 11th, from a different colour style radius.
Slightly concerning.
It's all worth bringing him in. So the 11th of January, obviously a trophy game. Unfortunately, we don't have a fixture now. And obviously it was ourselves and Ball and Wood. I mean, obviously our result was up there with regards to surprises, but Royston Town.
Well, Royston Town actually played Bournemouth twice in a week and on aggregate beat them 6-0. So, yeah.
Blimey.
No further comment.
but obviously, we had a conversation with them, and the plan was, you know what, rather than spot bankroll day Monday, let's bring it forward, let's get it played. 11th of January, Matt?
I believe it was, yeah. And
being proactive, we're a club, you know, you got postponements and stuff like that. Let's get it played, let's get it done. Send it off to the National League. Honestly, I thought it was a formality.
Yeah,
I just thought, okay, send the form off, you're going to get an email back going, thank you very much for arranging it. And what do we get?
We got a response saying that due to the fact it will put other teams at a significant disadvantage in the Easter period, they would not be rescheduling or permitting the rescheduling of this match. Yeah, I don't really know what to say.
I mean, honestly, this putting people at a disadvantage, how about the advantage that all the other teams in our league have progressed in the FA Trophy and have received prize money? What I do not understand the reasoning for. At the end of the day, we've got 40 odd league games who get played in a season, and we are doing it as quickly as possible. What's the problem?
I don't get it. I think the only thing is obviously if you play on the Monday and you put the Friday and the Monday. Obviously, everyone's in the same boat then, but obviously, if you play Friday and then you don't play on the Monday, you get an extra rest.
Our advantage has come from previous disadvantage.
No,
we've gone out of the trophy. We have a free weekend. Are we at a disadvantage because we're going to play on the 4th at Notts County away? We've then got the Kent City Cup fixture on the 7th. I imagine he was going to give a run out now because we can't arrange a game on the 11th. But we're then going 10 days without a fixture, maybe 14 days. Yeah. It wasn't for the Kent City Cup. Does that not put us at a disadvantage? Yeah. I do not understand how they've come to that decision and how that power still lies with them to make a call like that. I don't.
The call has been made.
It's
and
a
the
Saturday.
Fact is,
we're not trying to rearrange a Saturday game for a Thursday in between a Saturday and Tuesday game or anything like that. We have a free weekend. We're a football club with a free weekend, a free footballing weekend without a fixture, and we've got a fixture to be played later on in the year on a bank holiday Monday. What is the problem?
I don't know what to say. I think.
Tell me, Cook.
I think the only thing we can say is this was a Christmas special and it's been morbid so far.
It gets better later.
We spoke about the officials, we spoke about Eats League, we spoke about. So
it's the opposite of Christmas Day. You're going to start off poor and it's going to get better later.
The fact is that on the 12th, on the 11th of January now, we don't have a game.
12th day of Christmas.
So, but moving on, Matt, community scheme. Let's just jump on that while we can. A bit of positivity. We're going to talk about community scheme, and obviously over Christmas you've kindly opened the doors to Bromley Football Club, despite not much going on.
Our Christmas soccer camp, to be fair, was it yesterday that the first team were training, and you had, I think it was over 30, 40 kids.
Yeah.
Obviously training on the other side, taking part in a soccer camp, and I think there's a short video. Get this Chris out of my face. There's a short video of obviously the players and the kids getting to meet each other every like Christmas Day, you know, and Christmas Eve. And you're there for four or five days? Now?
Six.
6 days.
Six,
total.
Even better. Yeah, we're here for 6 days. So the first day was a great success, the 23rd. We're here on the 27th, the 30th, 31st, 2nd and 3rd. And the first day was absolutely fantastic. It was great to see all the
That's
kids enjoying themselves.
Not like Chris Rea.
It was great to see them enjoying themselves. It's always nice for the first team. And Neil shows a real interest.
It's going to get worse.
If I can talk without the hysterics next to me. Neil was always takes a real interest in it and popped down to have a look as well, which was lovely to see. So, thank you to all the coaches as well who've given up their time. A big thank you to all the parents and children that have supported it.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to touch it later on, like towards the end of this episode and stuff. But on a more serious note, I know we all laugh and joke and everything like that, but I see a lot of stuff at Christmas and, you talk about making sure you're with family and friends and everything like that, you know, and not all of us, Matt, are privileged enough to obviously to have that support network around us and everything. And obviously it can be a lonely time. And I know we've we're going to touch on it towards the end of the podcast, etc. But yeah, look, I think it's probably worth a timely reminder that it's probably important that, you know, you're not alone at Christmas and stuff.
No, absolutely not.
I talked about morbid and overall, so I talked about the episode being morbid and everything like that, but in all general seriousness. And, you know, we talk about our fans, and, you know, a number of our fans seem to get hold of, etc., that we know that are maybe alone, etc. And you just want to know that someone's there for them, really, Matt.
Absolutely, and I think that's where this club excels, in the fact that we are a really family-based, community-based club. A lot of people will have made lifetime friends just through coming to watch Bromley, and I can say it from a staff perspective. You know, just coming here, I've got lifelong friends from here as well. And we know that Christmas is a time where we like
Jesus
to. Very good, very
it's
good.
Christmas
is a time that we like to spend with our loved ones and close ones. But like you say, Jeff, it's not always possible, is it, Cookie?
No, it's not. Just to touch on it a bit, last year, obviously losing my mum in September and her passing away at the age of 64 from cancer, you look at yourself and you think, why me? Why my family? Why has it happened? And it was. And the first Christmas without, it was horrible. I'll admit personally, and I'll say it with a lump in my throat, and all joking aside, I was suicidal last year. I was in a really bad place. If it hadn't been for the people around the club, if it hadn't been for the football club itself, if it hadn't been for my kids and my other family, I wouldn't have been here. And that's genuine. I was in a really bad place, and no one should ever be made to feel like that. But obviously there are people you can go to and you can talk to. And personally, I think if there's if anyone's ever feeling like that, message me, because I would not want anyone to feel what I've been through.
Oh my God! Message all of us, I think.
Exactly.
Let's get it right. Let's get it right. It's Christmas. Let's get it right. We all stand here. We all moan about how hard the job could be. Sometimes, like, it's Christmas Eve. It's a one day where we can actually leave each other alone and go about our own human life. And we found ourselves in a pub in Bromley, recording a podcast. Christmas special.
We're not just work colleagues. At the end of the day, we're friends.
But obviously, on that note, there are a few numbers and a few helplines out there, and you managed to get some of them up in front of us, and I'm going to touch on it later on with the community scheme and Matt, and something that we're planning to do with remembrance in sport, and there's a specific sort of community scheme that we're trying to get set up for the new year, which I think is going to be really of advantage to a lot of hopefully a benefit to a lot of Bromley supporters and friends and people that you might know. But in all seriousness, Cook, I think there are a couple of hotlines and stuff that are out there for people who...
Look, I think the first one you've got to go to is obviously the Samaritans. Professional people know what they're doing. I say message me, Jeff, and we will always open our DMs and speak to people, etc.
You could come round to my house, honestly. I've got five people in there all speaking Italian. I'm in for a shocker at the moment.
But with it, obviously, you've got the Samaritans, I think, the biggest one. Number 116-123. Talk to their professionals.
And a lot of the other areas are obviously mental health, and with all due respect, obviously the elderly and those who might unfortunately find themselves elderly and alone at Christmas. And I know numbers we've got obviously for the Mind charity, 0300 123 3393, and obviously Age UK, 0300 169 6565. I think that's the most serious we've ever been on the podcast.
Definitely. And just to touch a little bit more while we're serious, we had a staff game a couple of weeks ago. We was meant to play the Met Police and they let us down. They was on different shifts, couldn't get a team together. We ended up playing...
It was busy, those police, aren't they?
Yeah, what we thought we was going to play Charlton... A Charlton team of vets.
Oh, no, me and Matt did a fantastic job covering this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago.
I know you did, but just to let you know, from that, obviously... We lost horrendously, and half of the team turned out to be semi-professional players.
10, double figures.
That was up against. It's lucky 1-0. It was only 10-0. However, with that, we was looking at different charities. So after the game, we all put in money, and we all put in, like, it's for a pitch hire. And we would always do it, not to cover a pitch hire, but for a charitable cause. And there was one, I think, with us this year. There was, I think it's called Kids at Christmas. It was basically for kids that are going to be waking up Christmas Day and not have any presents. And I think with that was something that touched my heart. So I try and do what I can for the kids, for my kids as well. And I think obviously you guys around the table, you, when you get to having children, you'll do anything you can. And that money that we raised went towards that charity, and it was a good amount. So I hope we've made some impact on Christmas, despite losing 10-0. Look, at the end of the day, it's not about the defeat.
Yeah, look,
it's about seeing me, however many stone I am, waddling around the pitch, trying to shoot, and then.
To be
taking
fair,
it out for a throwing.
To be fair,
flying through the air.
I think, to be fair, if people have made it this far through the podcast, you've probably ruined their Christmas already.
Yeah,
but
we're sorry.
But Matt, on the community scheme, we talk about remembrance in sport and something we're going to try and get set up with a National League Trust. Could you just give us a bit more information on that?
Yeah, so let's just get this right. A perception of community scheme can often be just kids' football, bit of fun on a Saturday morning, half term camps, things like that. It's not just limited to that. Over the past year, we've done a lot of work with women and girls groups, disability groups as well, to try and enable them more opportunities in football, particularly in this area. And it's worked fantastically well. The product of it has been really rewarding for us as a club, of the impact we've been able to have on local schools and things like that. And we're looking to broaden that horizon, if you like. We're looking particularly angles of mental health at the minute. And like Jeff, you referred to the Sporting Memories scheme, which I think you gave me an example earlier that you'd heard about that was just touching.
It's
really.
So fantastic. I mean, I'm not the best person to describe the whole scope of it, but basically it ends up with a weekly session, a fortnightly session, a monthly session, hopefully at the football club, you know, and it could be during the day. Maybe it's something that's aimed towards the elderly, the retired, those out of work, etc. And it's literally like a get together. So I know, coffee morning, tea morning, whatever you want to call it, held at a football club. And it's an opportunity for people to share their sporting stories, maybe their own personal achievements previously, etc. But the charity that's been set up, I think it's called Sporting Memories, and they're working with the National League Trust. And they have project managers and case officers that are able to work with football clubs and help develop and grow this. And they did it at another football club. They showed us an example at the last EGM, and they had Age UK. An elderly day centre, etc. And they invited them down just because they had genuine interest in sport. And I think one of them was suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm so sorry, I can't remember the exact story, but. They came down, and all they knew, the care home that he was at, was that they think he played possibly for Scotland under-21s when he was a youngster, etc. The poor gentleman in question, he couldn't remember his daughter's name, couldn't remember his wife's name, you know, really, really suffering with it. But he would often talk about football in a general sense, and they knew that he had a passion. And they brought him along to one of these sessions, and there was about 15 gentlemen of all ages, and they've all got their own little stories. And this gentleman, they tried to try and get as much information out of him as they could. So they thought he played for Scotland, possibly under-21s. They knew his date of birth, etc. So they had a rough idea of what year that possibly would be. They had his name, his surname, etc. And this Sporting Memories, they have access to all of the Press Association Sport Archive, all of the BBC Sport. So they're trying to digitalise everything into an app. So whether it was an old newspaper cutting, an old radio commentary, or an old black and white film reel, whatever it is, they're trying to digitalise it into this great big archive. And they ended up finding out that he was not only one of the youngest Scottish internationals ever or whatever, but he actually played against England. And they found these photos of him in the lineup. And they had the commentary, audio commentary of his name being read out in the team sheet and stuff like that. And they'd shared this with him after however many sessions when he managed to find all of this. They shared it with him, and he remembers all of it. All of a sudden, all the memories, all of that. He remembers what boots he was wearing. He remembers his family members that were in the crowd and everything like this. And this was a gentleman who was suffering from illness, and you're just thinking. You know, you talk about the power of football, power of sport and the football club and what it does to you. And Cook, you're talking about the camaraderie and the family and friendship and everything that it means to you. There are so, so many powerful stories and examples and things that are possible. And, you know, people talk about attendances and crowd figures and points on the table and all that sort of stuff. But so much more at stake and at play with your football club and what we should be doing and what we can do in the local community and for people that, you know, genuinely love the club. And I'm really hoping this Sporting Memories thing, I'm really excited about the new year and bringing it to the football club.
Football gets its fair share of criticism and whatnot, but this really illustrates the impact that it can have beyond the pitch beyond the stands, but in the local community. And that's really something that we're striving for at this club. And I believe that we're really getting there. And it's things like this that are going to enable us to make a real difference. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
And it shows how Bromley Football Club's come as a club in general. I think we've been able to bring forward ideas like this and obviously push them forward.
Absolutely huge. Fantastic. You've got support. Little things like that. You don't, you know... And I was going to say, you don't write it into people's job descriptions, but it is in Matt's.
Yeah.
But, you know,
along with several other things.
But seriously, for any of those you are listening, I know there's loads of season ticket holders, etc., who you know, Roy Oliver's going to be the biggest one that we all know of, who's going to have tons of stories. Jim Brown, Chris Dead, Tony Lettington. You know, I really hope they're all listening, you know, because I genuinely think that we've got a great opportunity in the new year to try and bring everyone together and you know, people who maybe aren't necessarily working during the day, retired, etc. Yeah. Let's get it right, Matt. Over a third of our season ticket holders are probably over the age of 60.
Correct, yeah.
You know, and what a great opportunity for us to maybe organise something at the football club, whether it's weekly, whether it's fortnightly, etc. I was going to say over a tea, it might end up being over a beer. It might be an afternoon, I don't know, but... I'm really excited by that, and for anybody listening who is excited as we are and wants to get involved, etc., please do drop Matt an email, matt@bromleyfc.co.uk, or alternatively knock on the porter cabin door and come and find us on a match day, because we're really keen to get this off the ground in the new year, and anybody who can help, it would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, so it's ending on a kind of high. I'd say ending, it's on a kind of high, the podcast at the minute, as we continue to roll.
I was going to say, hold on.
Slightly more positive notes. And I do just want to point out that the more people coming into the pub, there is that stereotypical thing that goes round on social media near Christmas, isn't there, about all men begin their Christmas shopping. Everyone in this pub is virtually like a male, and they're coming in with bags of shopping.
And they're on their own.
All last minute.
And they all look in distress. I don't know if that's because they're listening to this podcast, yeah, or
that's it. They've had
or
enough.
Just in general.
But I think the best thing to do now is let's cheer everyone up.
Cheer everyone up.
What better way to spend after Christmas? We can go on Boxing Day to Dover Athletic.
Oh yes,
let's preview Dover Athletic.
If you ever need cheering up on Boxing Day, make yourself
forget Christmas. This is what it's all about.
Let's go to the Crabble
Boxing Day.
Excuse me, it's just Crabble, not the Crabble.
Oh, sorry, Crabble.
Crapple.
Oh
yeah. As ever, Matt's prepared for this section at least.
So Matt, where are they in the league? Wins, losses, draws, and who's the star man for them?
So Dover are currently 15th in the table, 33 points, so which means they're just 7 points above Wrexham, who occupy the top place in the relegation zone. Goal difference of -3. It is a Kent derby, I guess, not so much a local derby. They're always feisty,
well,
I think,
unless,
if you remember last
you
year.
To BBC Radio Kent.
That is true.
In which
case,
Dover are playing aside from London.
Well, anyway, let's gloss over them. Last year's affair at Crabble was entertaining. They had two men sent off, and I think it was 1-1 in the end. They went 1-0 up.
Until we get a few red cards down there. I remember Lee Minshew a few years ago.
Yeah, Stephen Payne got sent off for them as well in
a
game.
And don't know, it was a challenge. I mean, it wasn't a red card, but he got a red card.
Yeah, I mean, it is always a feisty game.
FA Cup. Did we go there in the FA Cup?
We did, yeah.
Roger Johnson's debut.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
2-0, brought back to us, 1.
I got stuck in the hotel room in Ibiza.
So their recent results is
that for another podcast.
There's been a lot of draws, but in their last three, they haven't actually won. They lost 2-0 at home to Boreham Wood, followed by going out to Conference North side Kings Lynn Town on penalties in the FA Trophy, and then drawing 1-1 at Chorley. So they're actually below us in the form guide at the minute as well. The man to watch out for, I'd say, at the minute is Iniesta Young, tall, powerful, physical striker. Certainly got an eye for goal. So we'll see what the game has to bring, but fingers crossed we can go and get something positive and then bring them back on New Year's Day after Dagenham.
I've got to be honest, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we get the ball down playing, absolutely playing with a park, but I've got a feeling it's going to be absolute World War 3 out there. I just feel like this is one of those battle up games where it's going to be survival of the fittest, and it's just going to be punch after punch after punch after the punch, and it's whoever comes out on top.
Yeah, definitely, it's always a difficult place to go, and there's never really a massive scoreline there, is there?
Knock it long, he's winning those second balls.
I think last year you said about the two red cards being sent off, and we played against them with nine men for 10 minutes. And
yeah,
literally,
that both sending off through the first half.
And couldn't capitalise on it. So it's not an easy place to go. Touching wood at the minute, and I think you'll all join me. Let's hope we can make that a difference on Boxing Day. But then after that, let's welcome everyone back to Hayes Lane, the Westminster Way Stadium, on the 28th, where we play Dagenham and Redbridge.
Oh, yes. I mean, let's get it right. I think it's a shame, because I absolutely love Boxing Day football. Christmas, in-laws, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure by the end of Christmas Day, everyone can't wait to get out. The problem is we're at Dover. So some people are going to have to wait another 48 hours, but 28th, get down to football club, get another free pint in before 1 o'clock,
yeah,
and enjoy some football.
And cheer on the Brom.
As we play host at Dagenham Redbridge. Are we charging their fans more to get in than we're charging our home fans? Have we organised that?
No, that would be wrong and immoral.
Brilliant.
And against league rules. So...
Oh, it's all that's still ongoing. That's another conversation.
Let's not get morbid again.
But Matt, we talk about Dagenham and Redbridge. Obviously, I seem to recall our visit there painfully.
Oh wow! I mean, it was painful until the 92nd minute or 94th minute,
oh!
wasn't it?
Usually,
it's painful, Jeff.
The 92nd and 58 seconds.
Live on BT Sport. The amount of grief that I was. On social media, we were being called everything from rugby team to pub team to everything. And what I did was, I just had this feeling. Because at that stage, we were that never say die. You know, when you just knew we had something in our locker. And I remember saving all of those comments and tweets. And I thought, I'll tell you what, if we get something out of this, I can't wait to have a reply back at everyone. When I went back to all of those tweets at full time after we nicked that equaliser, all gone, all deleted. Didn't exist. Absolutely brilliant. Rico Hackett Fairchild, was it?
It was, and what a goal it was. The turn, the finish, just
the commentary
fantastic.
Commentary adds to it.
People everything. Were walking out.
We had Rico's family in front of us in
we
the press
did.
Box, didn't we?
Well, they're the only other Bromley.
That was our fear.
People
we're in
the
press
stand.
Box, we're in the home stand, we're going absolutely mental. And all of a sudden, as you're doing that, you're thinking, oh my God, we're the only people doing this. But
they turned around and were doing it as well.
In front of us, there was about half a dozen. It was all Rico's family. Fantastic.
I still watch that video now when I want a bit of a buzz. Because the commentary, like you said, it's all electric.
It nails it. Was it Andy Summerton?
It was, yes.
Adam Summerton.
Adam was
fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant. But tough test, nevertheless.
It will be, yeah. I mean, they're looking to get some form together, just like us. They've had a bit of a difficult time recently. Lots of injuries, just like us. So it should be a game of football.
Millionaire American owner.
Well, yeah, open checkbook and that.
Yeah, I bet Tim Howard's rolled. God, but he's, you know, he can't sleep at night. But genuinely, seriously, yeah. You know, that players in play that we tried to sign a player from. I think they wanted 10 grand or something stupid like that, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's very bizarre, this league. You know, I mean, you talk about money and teams walking away with it and that. There are teams with money in our league. They're all around us, yet they're not. It's very much a level playing field somehow, Matt. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting your crisp there. But yeah, Dagenham, you talk about the money they have and you think, where are they sitting in the league at the moment?
Oh, I'll have to get the league table back up.
Oh my God, it's supposed to be scripted, this.
They are 18th below Dover on 30 points and they are
18th?
4 points above the relegation zone.
18th.
Well, they did have a really good start to the season. They were at the top.
But they have all the money, like we've just said. How are they 18th?
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Anyway,
we're going to find ourselves really on stack.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, touching back on the EC game itself, a fantastic crowd, Matt. You know what? I'm always disappointed when we get under 2,000 because I really think we're really achieving our potential at the moment and we're trying to get people fans through the door. And I can still remember being here with 500 fans and people telling me why we're not getting 1,000 through the door, you know. But 1,600, Matt, 1,651, sorry, on the game before Christmas with only 45?
Away fans, yeah, not massive.
You know, I think is a really strong crowd, especially before Christmas.
Massively. I mean, you look at the average attendance from last season and that attendance was over 200 above that. And like you say, you've got to factor in the fact that it's the last Saturday for Christmas shopping.
I think last season we were Maidenhead. Maidenhead. Similar away fans, 45. The crowd's only just over 1,000.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I think you referred to it, obviously, a massive thank you to all the fans for their cooperation. And I know there was more intensive searching, etc. on Saturday. And I'm sure... fans aware of recent incidents, etc. However, I must admit, at 3 o'clock I looked out there and every supporter had arrived on time, was inside the ground enjoying the game, which is obviously great to hear. And obviously we talk about the flares and smoke bomb incidents, etc. And as Kitty said, obviously a lot refers to younger supporters, etc., and the kids, etc. However, I hate to say it, and like Kitty, we can't divulge too much, but the smoke bomb incident at the Yeovil game, sorry, they're all over the age of 25, but you know, it's very difficult. It's a difficult job to do, to target, etc. I do genuinely appreciate people's cooperation and support. And like I say, there's a few jokes about blokes who said they've never been fristing that way before and stuff like that, which is quite funny on the turnstiles. But no, genuinely, look, I think you've seen some banning orders, you've seen supporters banned, etc. We're trying to make it crystal clear that Hayes Lane is a ground that, you know, is for welcome, it's for welcome families, it's to welcome supporters who want to come and enjoy football. It's not for people who want to cause mischief or hooligans, whatever you want to call them. They're not welcome. And I'm sure Bromley fans in general make this clear. And obviously we've touched on it enough. But a big thank you to everybody who supported us in that process. There's another banning order coming out, and I know there's some good behaviour agreements, etc. But big thank you to those who supported us.
Getting back to a more positive note, obviously now James has joined us. James is the Bromley Football Club
Kit Man,
media officer, Kit Man.
More Kit Man and media officer, I think.
There's
three of us trying to do that.
Two of you. What a signing he's been this season. Talk about James. James.
Well, he's just brought me a pint, so I'm going to move, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
What was that, sorry? Is that a Beaver? It's a Beaver Town.
Beaver Town Neck Oil.
Beaver Town Neck Oil. That's a pale ale.
James has
4.3%, to be fair, it's quite light.
James has just featured in the podcast before, but I think it's fantastic to get a view on a bit more about what you do week in, week out, or day in, day out.
Fantastic. So I'm going to pass this. This is a bit of an
improv. No, I thought we'd frame in. This is James Tanner, everyone.
This is a bit of improv.
How's it going, guys? Nice to be back on the podcast. I've been probably a year out.
I was going to say, yeah.
I think it's been about a year.
It must be actually ages. Didn't we? Do you want Cootie's job?
We did, yeah.
Have it.
in all seriousness, I think for those of you listening, as a kit man and everything like that, the boys, it's completely changed from the old days of the players training Tuesday night and Thursday night and washing their own kit and stuff. It is a full time operation now. The boys are in 4 days a week. And I know you're going to tell us how despite the fact you're having to wash all of their laundry and everything like that, it is actually a dream job, etc. Because we all love to be involved in a club that we grow up supporting, etc. But genuinely, you see it from the inside, and this season, the boys, you know, and what they've achieved so far, and I know we're in this spell at the moment, which is incredibly difficult, I feel it, but we are third in the table, you know, and you must see the dedication and levels of attitude they put in up until this stage, you know, and that hasn't changed in recent weeks, which is, you know, so everyone likes to try and put their finger on saying, oh, it's Christmas, everyone's, you know, they've been having days off or they've toned it down, but that's not been the case.
No, not at all. One thing that's been really incredible coming into this role is actually seeing...
Apologies, sorry, it's Christmas Eve and you've just come from the ground, just like we all have, because the boys have just finished training.
Yeah, exactly that. The boys have been in for training.
We're not in tomorrow. I didn't miss a memo. We're not in on Christmas Day, are we?
Well, I'll give you a bit of insight here. They have all taken home their Playertech pods and they have to do a 25-minute run tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And that is the reason why they've taken their pods home.
And that's GPS, and that's GPS track. So there's no cheating.
On the coach down to Dover on
Thursday.
Unless
they give it to their dog. They've got a dog, they might.
Well, we can detect whether
you can
it's,
know that,
you know, they're running around in their garden.
I get you, yeah, yeah.
So on Thursday on the coach down to Dover, Smudge will be checking that everyone has done that. And...
technology, eh?
It's incredible. So that makes sure the boys are ticking over and are ready, game ready for Thursday. As I was saying, coming into this role at the start of the season, it's just been fantastic to actually see the amount of work that goes on that side, the playing side. And I think a lot of people don't realise just the amount of effort and blood, sweat and tears that do go into it. And I completely appreciate that now. And as you said, so far this season, it's just been, you know, to be sitting third at this time of the season in what a crazy league this is, you know, is a real testament to the players. And I think something we have this season in bundles, which was shown in that unbeaten run stretching, you know, the first month and 2 months of the season, is the belief in this real squad of players. And it is a squad of players. And, you know, the reason why the results...
Well, that squad's been tested. We talked about it earlier, injuries, suspensions. Let's get it right. We had a player retire. We had a player banned for, retrospectively, by an observer. 100%. You know, it's like, what? You literally can't write it. You know, we're now approaching this festive period, and look, we're all supporters, etc. We've been around a long time, Matt. And it's probably a good time to touch on the festive period and the games we've played in the past. And we're coming to the end of this decade, and I presume the next podcast we'll have to do some kind of decade review of best games and stuff like that. But we've had some pretty eventful Boxing Day, festive, and New Year period games.
December, I find, is the beat up season of the league.
I think. It feels like we've been beaten up recently.
You know, all the games through December just seem to be battles. I don't think many games are won on technical ability or, you know, a real shining performance.
Dover on Boxing Day just tends feels to be a punch like up. Dover on Boxing Day feels like it's just going to be a boxing match.
Yeah.
This feels like it's going to be an absolute battle up.
Is that the point where you tend to play your more local rivals, as it said?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, we've got the stuff.
Boxing Day and New Year's Day, you tend to be matched up against your closer.
Yeah, obviously, if you flash back to 2014, we played, obviously, our local rivals, Concord Rangers.
Yeah.
For goodness sake. I mean, who was doing the fixtures that season? Hey, look, it worked out all right. It won 4-1, to be fair. That was 2014, for those of you to remember.
Remember that one.
I remember Thurrock. That must have been well back. 2007. It was our first season of Cotter South, possibly. Or was it promotion season?
That would have been...
Oh, I don't know.
Five,
I reckon it might have been our promotion season. No, it was 2007.
That would have been
December,
first year.
So it must have been...
First
we got
year
promoted 06-07. Oh, yeah, so first year in the Conference South.
Yeah.
We beat them 8-1, Cook, Boxing Day. 8-1. I think even Boy Bowery scored. And then we lost him on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
literally,
crazy.
You can't write it. Like, literally, a week later, I think we lost him at our place. Because it was... Absolutely amazing. But that's going to be our question of the week, Matt, isn't it? Matt Duff. I don't know where Matt's been.
I'm zoned out. It is going to be our question of the week. I don't know what that is, but yeah, it is going to be our question of the week. Yeah.
Our question of the week, we're asking supporters for their favourite memories or stories, festive-related Bromley FC stories or memories. It might not even be about a game. It might be the fact that they couldn't get to a game because of a rail replacement bus or something like that. You know,
it might be the away fan that bought a tree from the
St Albans,
from the turnstiles,
St Albans City.
Where's your Christmas tree? Where's your Christmas tree?
In the centre circle at full time.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's a good memory.
Security about that day as well.
About me then.
Like you say, Thurrock 8-1. There's been some fantastic stories over the. Over the years, I'm sure it'd be great to hear people's fans. I remember beating Welling 2-0 2009 on Boxing Day. I think Whitehall. What was Whitehall 2013? Was it our promotion season?
Yeah.
No, that was the playoff year, wasn't it? And then
was
it was
it?
The promotion.
And we
it was,
short,
yeah.
We were 1-0
when
down,
Bradley Goldberg
like
got the 25 goals in the playoff season.
It was after Boxing Day.
It was in a Surridge kit. Do you remember the yellow Surridge kit?
Because I thought it was going to be called off. I mean, let's get
the
it
red
right.
Surridge kit.
I mean, it was like the bottom of a caravan site, and it had a hill on one side. And
we had the red Surridge kit, the away kit, when we won the league.
No, it was
the playoff season.
Because we brought Alan Julian in.
No, Seb Brown was in goal that day.
He played that day, but after that game was a pivotal moment when we signed Alan Julian the following couple of days.
No, we were talking about the Bradley Goldberg moment.
No, but why are we there? Get a crack on your prawn cracker. we were 1-0 down, weren't we? And it was a Bradley Goldberg brace, I think, second half.
It was,
Joe Welch saved a penalty as well.
And you nearly jumped the railings.
No, we were pushed. Mate, there weren't railings. You got to the bottom of the thing.
It was a plastic chain.
Like a plastic little chain thing like you'd find in a I don't know. We'll need to find a plastic chain like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, we got pushed through it. Like you find a car park. You know, they cone off car park bays.
It was a very strange setup.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous.
Ulster's on the postcard where you find them plastic chains.
3-0 away win at Tunbridge Angels. I remember that. That was the 28th or 29th
yeah.
of December in the old festive period. Yeah. That was quite local.
Yeah, remember that.
Leighton Orient. How about Leighton Orient? 1-0. Louis Dennis.
Now 1-0.
Season before last.
And the bloke in the gantry. The bloke in the gantry told me and Matt to F off back down to South London.
And we said, with pleasure. Yeah.
Remember that? We was in the gantry at Leighton Orient and he told us to F off back down to South London.
Ebbsfleet, do we win there away?
We lost away and then beat them at home. BT
no,
Sport.
We beat them. We beat them 3-1 away.
And there was a few of us behind the
Yeah, it was the only game that was on that day in the league.
The only
game that didn't get called off.
Everyone else was standing under the shelter on the left hand side.
And then we just went out second half.
Under the Liam Day stand. Which, by the way, don't exist anymore. And we were absolutely soaking wet with the old.
See you later, Matt.
Oh, he's gone.
See you, Matt.
I knew he had to go, but that's a bit short.
He's just gone off.
Who's he gone off with? And that was 3-1 that day. Who's a fella up front? Never scored. He hardly ever scored for us, but he scored on that day. Jake Reed.
We were talking about Jake Reed. We signed him. I think on this day, I think it was yesterday. What was it? 6 years ago, we signed Jake Reed. Yeah, that Ebbsfleet one sticks out. That's a fantastic memory. And
absolutely
we were soaked. And it like,
but
I
we're,
think
talking,
like
we're, we're talking about it, the last decade.
It was
hopefully
the only game to be on in the North, the South, the Premier of that league. And literally, we got that result.
It was fantastic. I do remember that. And I remember just being absolutely drenched, like I can't imagine. I remember, like, I think I had the Bromley Aces flag at the time, and I think it took like a week for that to, like, I was hanging it over our balcony, like, you know, trying to dry out. And but yeah, hopefully everyone's still listening to the podcast at this point. But if they are, I'd love to hear the stories, because we're talking, oh, there's a Leighton Orient fan in the pub, Cook.
There's
he's
so
wearing
many.
A bloody Leighton Orient jacket.
There's so many memories, and just share anything. We're not putting it out where we're just saying your favourite goal, your favourite. It's open to anything. What is your best memory?
Festive memory. There's going to be loads. There's going to be fans that couldn't get to a game. There's going to be fans who had to tell their wife they was going shopping and ending up at the football game or something. I'm absolutely fascinated. I can't wait. And as ever, you can get in touch via email, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, or via Twitter @BromleyFC, and over on Facebook, facebook.com/BromleyFC also.
And obviously with Twitter, you're using the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Oh yeah, people do that.
Yeah. And that's it, guys. I think this finishes up the Christmas special podcast. I hope we've ended it on a more positive, because we haven't
it's definitely been a roller coaster of emotions.
It's been a podcast.
I'd love to say we've now got a player interview that so giving you something to actually worth listening to, but
we haven't. But what better way to end the podcast without Matt saying goodbye? So James, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cookie, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys. Have a great Christmas, a fantastic new year.
Where's Matt?
And
no, hold on.
I'll see you at Dover.
No, all right, hold on. we've got the players and staff to wish us a Merry Christmas.
That's
good one. And who have we got? So we've got Neil Smith, we've got Chris Bush, we've got Briggs Odgerman, we've got Jackie, the bar manager.
Salute.
We've got Salu, our cleaner. We've got Brian, our volunteer maintenance man. Absolute godsend. We've got Gareth the Cat. We can't see Gareth the Cat, to be fair, because it's an audio podcast, but he is there. He doesn't meow, to be fair, so you can't hear him.
Brandon Young Chambers, Billy Crask, Ollie Tanner, and Bobby Mills.
Fantastic. And is that everyone? And then you've got us lot, I guess.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much for putting up with us all throughout this year. I mean, I don't know how we're at episode 57. If I'm in all honesty, we're going to crack on here. If I'm honest, Matt's back.
Matt's back.
Where's he gone? Where you gone?
Matt, we're just saying our goodbyes.
Yes, bye bye, everyone.
He wishes back. You a Merry Christmas as
Where
well.
Where did he go? I thought he left. I thought he was going.
No, I wouldn't leave my coat behind.
Oh, blimey!
Thank you very much, guys. This is our sign off. Have a fantastic Christmas. And we'll see you for the fun festivities that continue at Crabble on Boxing Day against Dover.
It's going to sound like we've had a bet so you can finish your podcast, but I didn't know Cookie was going to finish it off like that. anyway, A big thank you to the Star and Garter for hosting us also, and also to the Lock and Barrel over on Twitter, at Lock and Barrel AH on Twitter. Thoroughly enjoyed our visit there. And for now, we're going to leave you with the fantastic tones of all the people that James just referred to in the Christmas video.
Just like to say a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, we at Bromley would like to wish all our fans a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all the supporters of Bromley Football Club.
Hello, it's Jackie here from Bromley Football Club. I'm the bar manager and I'd just like to wish all our supporters and sponsors a very Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year to all Bromley supporters.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all the Bromley supporters.
You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I